Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Another magical night in Miami comes to a close. Welcome to TC Live as we break down all the action from the Miami Open today and get you ready for what's to come at Hard Rock Stadium. A lot to discuss over the next half hour. Dark clouds over the Sunshine Double. Carlos Alcaraz goes out in a shocker. How was Grigor Dimitrov able to get it done and what it means? Plus, after being the runner-up last year, Elena Rybakina has been pushed to the limit on her road back to this year's final. And Roger Federer will be back on the grass in June, delivering an inspirational performance. We've got the details a little later in the show. We have reached the business end of this year's Miami Open. Come on in. Great to have you here with us, Steve Weissman, Monica Puig, Andy Roddick over on the big screen. The women's final is now set. Danielle Collins has won 12 straight sets. Absolutely blowing through the field, Monica.
She is steamrolling at this point, and I really like what I'm seeing. Once again, just playing with this reckless abandon. She's got nothing to lose. She's got nothing to prove, and she's heading into the final. Honestly, in my opinion, probably the best-looking person in this tournament heading into the final.
Yeah, I think she's the best I've ever seen her play consistently. Monica's exactly right. The score lines are extremely lopsided. It's been a tale of two tournaments for our two finalists, Rybakina and Collins. Rybakina almost has like found her way into form, won her 4-3 setter today, whereas Collins lost her first set of the tournament, and nobody's gotten more than three games in a set since then. The pragmatist in me wants to say, listen, Rybakina serve. Her pedigree, her ability to win big tournaments, but I don't know. There's something about Collins in this tournament.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Andy. Best you've ever seen her play. That's big time right there. We'll talk more about the women's final later in the show, all those highlights as well, but let's get you through what happened today chronologically. 2018 runner-up Alexander Zverev playing in his fourth Miami quarterfinal, facing the unseeded Fabian Marijan, who's looking for his third top 10 win of the tournament, Andy.
Yeah, and Zverev was on it from the word go. Marijan is someone who likes to get deep into points, right? Likes to play different angles, likes to play drop shots. Zverev was moving around, not letting him get set, Steve. You see there, he never hit two balls in the same position. And Zverev can just shoot through you, or and just play through you, right? So 30-all points matter a little bit more. You get a little bit tighter because you know you're not going to get many looks at the basket. On his serve, I love the way he's been getting forward. Was that a vertical leap from Zverev?
A little bit.
Was that something? There's a credit card under there, I think. But his ability to play that off backhand, he's going to munch on second serve returns. There it is again, right on cue. He's looked great this tournament.
Hasn't dropped a set yet. Saved the only two break points he faced. Let's hear from him.
Fabian Marijan is a dangerous guy with his unbelievable record against top 10 players. How did you handle that challenge today?
Yeah, I mean, if he continues playing like that, he's going to rise up the rankings very quickly, and he's going to be one of those guys himself. And, you know, he always rushes, you know, us good players. You know, we feel like when we are in control, I think, you know, all top players, when they're in control, they feel like they can, you know, manage the match, manipulate the match a little bit in their own favor. And against him, that's not possible. So I think that's why he has such a great top 10 record. And, you know, he's an unbelievable player.
The last man's quarter. Carlos Alcaraz trying to become the first guy to make three straight semis in Miami since Djokovic. But Grigor Dimitrov had other plans, Andy, playing lights out.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy you didn't ask me for a prediction on this one last night, Steve, because I would have been incorrect, and especially if the Vegas odds had been, they had the games won at 6.5, I would have taken the over. I would have lost twice. I admired Dimitrov. Ups and downs throughout his career. Has been the almost man many, many times, but is still there as we see Jagger Leach with his mom, Lindsay, taking in the sights in Miami. But Grigor Dimitrov, Alcaraz tried to make a stand here and did it successfully at 4-2 down in his own serve. Dimitrov was trying to basically essentially close the match out at this point. Gets this point was just fantastic, trying to get to a match point, getting off the mark. That doesn't look like someone who's on the other side of 30, Steve. That first step, and then sticks a return here. Alcaraz misses the ball. Dimitrov doing work still.
You can see what it means to him. Takes his second straight match against Alcaraz. Makes the final four here for the first time.
It's one of the best matches maybe you've played the last few years.
I mean, I think overall, you know, in order to win against him, it's you have to play at your best. That's just how it is. I came into the match very focused, and I think extremely clear on what I had to do. So, you know, sometimes simplicity is genius. It's very, very hard to do it, especially when you play against an opponent like that.
All right, here is your semifinals on the men's side. First time for Dimitrov getting back-to-back top 10 wins since 2017. We'll need to get three in a row to reach the final and return to the top 10 himself. And then, of course, the rematch from last year's final between Medvedev and Sinner. But, Monica, we don't often see somebody defeat Carlos Alcaraz like that. What impressed you most about what Dimitrov was able to accomplish?
I mean, first of all, the scoreline. Because when I checked in on the match, it was a set in 4-1. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, this is incredible. But when I saw him win again in Brisbane at the beginning of this year, I was like, we have to keep our eye on this guy, because like Andy said, he's had a couple of ups and downs in the season, but he's kept humble. He's kept working. And, you know, it's really tough to do season in and season out and put up all the great results. You might have a season or two that don't go that way. And he has not gone down on himself. He hasn't really just said, okay, I'm just going to hang it up because I can no longer beat these guys. He's gotten to work. He's done his homework with his team, and he's worked on consistently getting better. So for me, it's more like he's focused on the process instead of the end result. And the process, sooner or later, will start giving the rewards. And we've already seen it. And this is, you know, really exciting for him.
Yeah, he has been trending, Andy, in the right direction for quite some time now. But now on the verge of getting back inside the top 10, something that's very important to him at this point in his career. If he plays like he did today, can he raise the trophy at the end of the week?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, he's the kind of guy that can take the racket out of your hands. There's two things that stand out to me. One, he's hitting the ball as firmly as he ever has. I remember I played him in 2011 when he was still young, and all the talent was there. He looked great. He could move. All the pieces seemed like they could fit together. But when he would go after a ball, it just didn't come off fully square all the time, right? It didn't feel like he really firmed it through the court. Tonight, he firmed it through the court. It's as strong as I've ever seen him hit the ball. And the other thing that I really admire about Dimitrov, there hasn't been a second in his entire career where you've questioned whether or not he goes into a match prepared, right? We never question his fitness. We never question his effort levels. And at this point in your career, you normally have seen someone take a playoff before. So I have tons of respect for Dimitrov, even past this match, just the way that he goes about his day-to-day.
He's a guy that's super easy to root for. Him, Jaime Delgado, has been working with him recently, doing a fantastic job. So Grigor Dimitrov into the semifinals in Miami. Let's check in on the ladies now. Elena Rybakina looking to make it back to the final, playing her tour-leading fourth semifinal of the year, taking on three-time Miami champ Victoria Azarenka, Monica, and this was a battle.
And it was a battle of hard-hitting tennis there in the first set from Rybakina's forehand particularly, but this was something I was surprised with, was the scoreline of this second set, but there's a reason why Azarenka is such a fighter, such a competitor. She just does not let go, hugging that baseline like she usually does, moving the ball really well all around the court, making Rybakina work. Now, Rybakina served for this here at 5-4, and Azarenka said, no, I have some unfinished business here with the wheels, and she wanted to get the crowd into it, start saying, hey, I want to hear you, because I still have a chance to stay in this. But ultimately, it was Rybakina who came out swinging in this tiebreaker, got up 6-1, and was finally able to close it at the very end. She says that she hasn't been feeling physically that great. We'll see what happens in the final. I have no expectations for myself.
That's a good place to be. She's in the final. 40 winners, 11 aces, youngest player to make back-to-back finals in Miami since Sharapova caught up with Prakash.
How did you find the energy in the third set?
Yeah, it was really tough in the second set. I mean, the first one was also kind of on the limit for me, and I really served well, so I could close it out. But then in the second, also this pause when she went to the toilet, and I think I waited a bit longer, and then she started really aggressive. And after her first three games, which I lost very quick, I knew that to come back is going to be very difficult. So I was kind of mentally preparing for the third set.
The other semi, Danielle Collins, Ekaterina Alexandrova, both looking to make their first 1,000-level final. And Monica, as we've talked about all week, the Danimal, just savage mode right now.
She is just playing super accurate tennis, very high percentage within the aggression that she's showing on the court. Physically, I see her moving really well. She had great anticipation in this match, great defense, and it just always seemed like she was on her marks. Looking at peace, she's very calm, very serene on the court. She looks like she knows and is very secure of what she's doing out there. And I mean, the wheels and the passing shots that she hit as well, it just seemed like she was seeing the tennis ball like a basketball today. There was no way that she could miss, and pretty much stepped on Alexandrova from the very beginning and did not let go.
Since dropping that first set of the tournament, this is what Danielle Collins has been bringing to the court in Miami. Second lowest ranked Miami finalist, behind only Naomi Osaka. So let's take a look at it. Danielle Collins taking on Elena Rybakina, 3-1 head-to-head to Rybakina, who has won the last three. But all three setters, including this year in Abu Dhabi, fourth final of the year for Rybakina, just 3 months in. Nobody else on tour has done that. Andy, as we take a look ahead to this matchup, what are your early thoughts?
I wish I had a clear thought about this matchup. I just love the way Danielle Collins is playing, right? But Rybakina, she's kind of earned the right to play well in this final, right? Getting through some tough matches along the way, not playing tennis for 8 days, pulling out of Indian Wells, which, oh, by the way, she had to defend those points, couldn't play the tournament, right? So extra onus on this tournament in Miami. I love what Rybakina does. I think she has the best serve in the women's game, able to switch directions. That forehand cross battle, she was even getting the better of Madison Keys in that matchup this week and looked good tonight, has gotten through. We'll have a day off, so I think her body will be ready. But Danielle Collins has been the best player in this tournament to this point, right? She's like an old Tyson fight, right? Like in the late 80s where you go ding, ding, and she just walks up and punches you in the mouth, right? Like it's just a fight from the word go. There's something about Collins in this event so far.
Yeah, I agree with Collins. She has been just very feisty, very on her marks this whole tournament, super accurate. It doesn't really seem like she could put a foot out of place. But Rybakina is the silent killer. She'll go out onto the court and just keep this stone-washed face the whole time. You don't really know what she's thinking. I think she's really solid off the ground. I think she's going to have to serve well, which she usually does. And Collins, while she can move the ball really well around the court, Rybakina is one of the only tall players out there who actually defends really well. So Collins will have to deal with an extra ball tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. And it's really going to be about execution. Who wants it more? We know that Collins really wants it. Rybakina has kind of taken the pressure off of herself and said, well, you know, I'm really happy with whatever happens, whatever the outcome, but you know that she wants it.
Absolutely.
So I was reading that. And I was like, nah, I know that you're really feeling it.
Set the expectations low and then overachieve. That's what we're always trying to do, right? This is old school fire and ice. I mean, you got the fire of Collins, the cold as ice Rybakina. Looking forward to the final on Saturday. When we come back, we are breaking down the men's semifinals, and that includes our FanDuel match preview. Who do the odds favor in the blockbuster semi between Daniil Medvedev and Jannik Sinner? We'll break it all down for you.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Monica, Andy, Steve back with you on TC Live right after Miami. Tennis Channel's Road to Roland Garros is kicking off on the green clay in South Carolina. Incredible field at the Credit One Charleston Open. Wild cards including former champ Caroline Wozniacki and local favorite Shelby Rogers. We've got you covered live. First ball through the finals. It begins Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern. Cannot wait to get back to the Lowcountry. For a look at tomorrow's forecast in Miami, here's Fox Weather.
Hello, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather meteorologist Stephen Morgan. Here's tomorrow's Miami Open forecast. We have plenty of sun. Not a bad forecast at all. High temperatures in the upper 70s. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
Thank you, Stephen. Time for our FanDuel match preview. Let's break down the odds. Daniil Medvedev, Jannik Sinner, 6-4 head-to-head for Medvedev. Sinner is your favorite, though. Rematch the Australian Open final earlier this year that Sinner won from two sets down. Andy, rematch of the Miami final last year that Medvedev won. What do you make of the odds? Who's going to win?
Yeah, I think his odds feel about right. I'm pretty confused by them, which generally means that they've set the right number. Sinner spent a lot of his career never beating Medvedev, and he spent the last, 5 months beating Medvedev a lot. I think I like Sinner in this one. Obviously, it's not an upset either way if one of the best players in the world beats another one of the best players in the world. Just based on recent form, and Sinner may have found something in this matchup which has led to his success. I think he beat him in the Vienna final for the first time and has beaten him a couple times since, including the aforementioned Aussie Open final. So I think I like Sinner, but I don't say that with any level of confidence.
How much do you think that Aussie Open final factors into this one in both of their minds?
I mean, maybe it's going to be for Medvedev that he was so close that he knows that he can beat Sinner at Sinner's best because, I mean, Sinner has been looking absolutely phenomenal all year already. We know that Medvedev will bring back as many shots as it takes to kind of make his opponents go crazy. I think it's going to be a little bit more tough to make Sinner go crazy. He's playing really, really well. He can not only hit through the court, but he can mix up, where the shots go. Like we said, you can't really hit through Medvedev. You have to change the angles on the court. You have to bring him forward. You have to move him back. So, and we saw Darren Cahill scouting Daniil Medvedev on what he needs to do. So they both have a game plan in place. I think it's just comes down to execution and who is able to, reap the rewards.
Looking forward to it. Sinner has won the last four in this matchup. A reminder, right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. Speaking of more, we got more TC Live on the way. We double down on the Dubs. Who's making the final in Miami? All the highlights straight ahead. Puig, Roddick, Wiseman back with you on TC Live, and you are in for a treat tomorrow. British actor Jason Isaacs of Harry Potter fame joins us Friday on TC Live from Thailand, where he's shooting season 3 of White Lotus. Jason absolutely loves tennis. You'll love his passion for the sport. That is tomorrow on TC Live. To doubles action from Miami and the top seeds, Rohan Bopanna and Matthew Ebden making quick work Marcel Grenoyers and Horacio Zabaios, Andy.
Yeah, apparently we've gotten to the showing doubles highlights portion of the week, Steve, which is exciting. And I think Bopanna dominates this highlight. If I'm not mistaken, the forehand return here, 44 years old, better than he was at 34, better than he was at 24.
14.
Dominant start to finish. Yeah, exactly.
Four.
Probably better than he was at 14, better than he was at 4, so on and so forth. I'm glad you caught on to that. I'm not great at math, so thanks for continuing that for me. This was a beating from start to finish. Ebden and Bopanna hooked up a couple years ago, and they've done a really nice job together.
Dropped just 3 points behind their first serves, 53 minutes of work looking for their second Masters title together, and they will be taking on the second seeds, Ivan Dodig and Austin Krajicek. They're looking for their first trophy this season after getting 5 as a team last year. That's Saturday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, the men's doubles final. And how about the women's doubles in the semifinals tomorrow? Taking a look at Sonia Kennan and Bethany Mattox-Sands teaming up. Asia Muhammad, Alicia Parks as well. Monica, who do you think comes through?
I mean, there's a lot of really great doubles pairings. I know Kennan and Mattox-Sands have played together before, won a couple titles. Muhammad, I love playing doubles with her. It feels like I don't have to do anything on the court, and they've been having incredible results. Dabrowski-Ratliff, Grand Slam champions, Irani, Grand Slam champions, Paolini playing some great tennis lately. I don't know. I'm not a doubles player, so I can't really say much to doubles, but everybody around here just super solid at tennis as well.
You said a lot of great things there. Time now for the social net. By the way, we saw Roger Federer playing tennis at Stanford recently. That's where his agent Tony Godsick's son Nico plays. But Roger is also giving love to Tony's daughter Isabella, who plays lacrosse at Dartmouth. Federer will be the commencement speaker there this June, and here's what he had to say about it.
Hello, Dartmouth College, class of 2024. I am so excited and honored to be your commencement speaker this year. And of course, I hope I see you on the big green in June. See you then.
Looking good in that varsity sweatshirt, Andy. What do you expect to hear from Roger Federer when he gives the commencement speech at Dartmouth?
Oh, who cares what he has to say, Steve? God, yeah, I'm so over this. No, I'm joking. You know what's cool about this is it's honestly Roger showing up at Nico's practice, Tony Godsick and Mary Jo Fernandez's son, and then doing the commencement speech at Dartmouth where Isabella is. This is essentially the result of a tennis relationship, right? That starts as a business and then morphs into a friendship, then morphs into a partnership, and there's like an afterlife. And so this is a tip of the cap to Tony and Mary Jo and the relationship they've established with Roger. What price do you put on history? I think it's just an incredibly classy thing of Roger to do. It's like annoyingly on brand.
Giving a commencement speech is such an honor, Monica, and to get Roger, I just can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Neither can I. He is extremely well-spoken. I mean, every time I see him talk, I'm just like glued to the screen like, okay, what do you have to tell me? So many people are going to walk away so inspired from that just because of what he's accomplished and how humble he stayed through it all. I mean, everybody loves Roger and what he stands for, but it's more so he just makes you feel so happy.
He does. Have you given a commencement address, Andy?
No, but I can tell you there were many days where Roger didn't make me feel happy. So I don't agree with Monica.
I played on the other side, so he made me feel happy watching his matches. I'm deeply very sorry that you had to deal with the other Roger, but
yeah, I have not given any commencement speeches, Steve. I don't think I will be asked to give any commencement speeches, but I will definitely tune in for this one at Dartmouth. Cool story.
Somebody get Andy to give the speech. He's got a lot
he
of wisdom to tell.
He can give a speech tell. Here.
Yeah, I'll tell
to I mean, you guys.
Just on TC Live, like diatribe for 10 minutes.
Monologue.
meantime, a friend of the show will now be a part of the show. Ali Risk Amitraj going to join us for Tennis Channel's coverage in Charleston. Also announced an expecting baby with Stephen Amitraj, our good friend as well. Pregnancy in the works. A lot going on with Ali, Monica.
I mean, it's so good to see. She is such an unbelievably nice person. And I mean, this is just such exciting news. I had a little bit of feeling that she wasn't playing recently, and I'm like, maybe. And this just confirms it. It's so exciting. And I can't wait to see her in Charleston.
Yeah, I actually got to there's a lot of acquaintances in tennis where you kind of know people in passing. You say hello, how are you? And it doesn't really go past that. I had that relationship with Steven for a while and Ali for a while, and I admired them from afar. And then they magically showed up in this little North Carolina mountain town that we hang in out in sometimes, and they sent a text over, and we had like this hour and a half long coffee. Caught up, and her energy is as good as it's been represented everywhere. Just the happiest, like you leave and you're in a good mood, Stephen too. So congrats to them. Just awesome.
Absolutely. Ali adding to her family, and we're adding her to our family at Tennis Channel.
Uncle Prakash.
Uncle Prakash as well. Listen, congratulations, Ali and Stephen. Cannot wait to see you in Charleston. The coverage continues from Miami tomorrow. 1 p.m. Eastern is the first women's double semifinal, and then the two men's semifinals in singles, followed by the women's double semifinal number two, TC Live, and that encore coverage. We've got our hot shot and previews coming up next. Welcome back. It's that time. Hot shot of the day. Andy, the Chuckster didn't win the match, but he won this.
Yeah, in the not upset of the day, the Chuckster gets the hot shot. And I got to be honest, Steve, like this court positioning, going there and then going to the other sideline and hitting this almost borderline inside out up the line, that's not a shot I see at my morning dingles game here in amateur tennis land very often.
I think we saw DJ Khaled in there, too. We the best in the house to watch the best. Matches coming up Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern. The doubles semifinals, the bookends for the men's singles semifinals. Lots of action to talk about. For more on it, we send it back to Miami with Danny Prakash.
All right, Steve, back here at our Tennis Channel Cadillac desk. Prakash, we get a rematch of the Australian Open final. We get Daniil Medvedev, Jannik Sinner. Who's going to win this battle?
Gosh, this could really go either way. I think this court is brilliant for Daniil, but Jannik is just a different player than when they played in the final here last year. He's won their last couple of meetings. But the Australian Open final has got to be on his mind a little bit. Both been playing great tennis, but I got to go with the Italian. He's on one this year, Danny.
It's going to be a very exciting semifinal Friday here in Miami, that's for sure.
All right, he's on one. Dimitrov only one win against Sasha Zverev in the other matchup. 7-1 for Alexander Zverev, Monica. And those seven have come in a row. So Dimitrov hasn't beaten him since 2014, a decade ago. What does he need to do to reverse that and get another win tomorrow?
I think he needs to continue to put pressure on his opponents like he did so well today against Alcaraz. I want to see if the Zverev serve and forehand hold up. That's when he gets under pressure. He starts feeling like he needs to do too much with the serve, go a little bit too big with the forehand. The backhand is usually always solid, but Dimitrov played some incredible tennis, has been playing some incredible tennis. You know that he'll run around the court. He has that firepower when he needs to. I mean, baby Federer for a reason. His strokes are flawless, but yeah, it's going to be a tough test. If Zverev is on it with the serve and the forehand, I think he has it, but you never know.
You never know. Andy, why do you think this matchup has been so one-sided over the past 10 years?
Well, I think it's first serve, right? If Zverev's landing a high percentage of first serves, Grigor generally tends to chip that, and then Zverev has control of the point, right? Like, as great as Alcaraz is, Dimitrov still has time on a second serve return to actually create something, right? And Zverev, for, you know, the yips and the double faults, he's actually reined that in the last couple of years. He runs it in on the body a little bit more, but you're kind of at the mercy of Zverev's first serve. Has one of the biggest first balls in the game, and Dimitrov isn't one to stick those, you know, with two hands on the racket. Obviously, the one hand kind of tends to chip it, and then he's playing defense from there. So I do trust numbers and matchups.
Yeah, that's a great point. And then it puts more pressure on the Dimitrov service games as well. Looking forward to that semifinal. Medvedev Sinner as well. It is all going down on a Friday here on Tennis Channel. But for one night at least, Grigor Dimitrov. What a performance to take out Carlos Alcaraz. For Monica and Andy, I'm Steve. Thanks for watching TC Live. The action from Miami continues next.